without any further ado, I do bring before you to bring the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God, the only gospel to be preached in this dispensation. Can you please receive Elder Liverman with a hearty amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together one more time. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you've given us of who we are in Christ and what you did for us in eternity. And Father, right now, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for everyone here, even those that may be on their way. We thank you for the doctrines of grace. And Father, we ask that you breathe on this, oh God, this vessel to bring forth your word. We continue to pray for all the members of the Grace Gospel Church, even those that are abroad in other nations, Father. We pray in this present evil age that you will encourage our heart as only you can. And we thank you, Lord, and we just thank you for peace. We thank you for love, the peace that passes all understanding, that shall keep our hearts and minds via Christ Jesus. He is our peace. You are peace, Lord. And let everything be said, everything we do, let it always uplift Christ, Christ, Christ. And Father, we ask to put aside everything that's not like Christ, that you may be exalted as our only Lord and Savior, and we'll be always be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we are moving right forward in the message today. And I just saw Sister Ross. I need someone to pass these, amen, these. We're going to go right back into some things on the dispensations, amen. And we're going to, Brother Don here, is, yeah, if you could give everyone, amen, one of these. This is something that we covered. And while Brother Don is passing those out, I know I'm not a mind reader, but someone may say, why are you still talking about the dispensations? I know all about the dispensations. Why are you still talking about the dispensations? Church, I'm going to say this. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you'll be confused. And we're going to build on this right now with three scriptures. We're going to take our time. We're not in a hurry. We're going to take our time. And I was passing out here to check a couple seconds ago. I said, wow, I'm up a quarter to 12. I want you all to relax. I'm not going to be here at 1 o'clock. So just relax now. I'm not going to break the record. Amen. I'm going to pray that Pastor Gavin, my wife, somebody's going to break that record. So just relax. So don't be looking at your clock, wondering that I'm going to be, no. Good news. I'll be out before, I'll be sitting down before 1. But anyway, Elder Karen is going to be our reader today. And we're reading three scriptures. Elder Karen is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Elder Karen, you can read that in the King James and then read the 15 in the Greek. And Galatians 2, 1 through 7, you can read 1 through 6 in the King James and verse 7 in the Greek. And then we'll go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, and you can read that directly in the Greek.
For the record, the pastor is reading.
Oh, amen. Okay. Okay, amen. All
right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
First from the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God,
mm-hmm.
a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing, church, the word of truth. Pastor, you mind reading that in the Greek, that right. Verse 15 there?
All right, from the Greek. Be eager thyself, approved, to present to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cutting straight. See that, church? You have to cut this straight. Well, we'll go back to this, but let's go into the other two verses. Galatians 2, verse 1 through 7, and verse, Pastor, you can read again, verse, first six verses, King James, verse 7, Greek.
All right. Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 from the King James verse.
Mm-hmm.
Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, as any by any means I should run, I had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that they might bring us into a bondage,
mm-hmm.
to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, but that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Mm-hmm.
But of these who seem to be somewhat, to whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man person. For they who seem to be something in conference added nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me,
was to Peter, mm-hmm.
as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Now, the gospel, two gospels. Pastor, do you read that in the Greek? Verse 7.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision, as Peter of the circumcision.
Yes. Now, church, keep this in mind. In the seven dispensations, which we're going to cover some of these today, of the seven dispensations, the two that really buck heads and cause most confusion, God's people mixing the kingdom future gospel with the grace present gospel. And it's no way you can take a future covenant and move that to the in the present and try to have some clarification. Won't happen. Let grace be grace, law be law, kingdom be kingdom. These are the primary, those three. Kingdom, law, kingdom, and grace. Now, the reason that we separate, there has to be a line of demarcation surrounding these covenants, church, and something that most of God's people do not understand is what Pastor is going to read now in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. And Pastor, you can just go right out and read that directly in the Greek. Philippians 1:10 in the Greek. This is, again, Paul's giving directions to the church at Philippi here. Philippians, again, chapter 1, verse 10.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 from the Greek text. For the to prove you the things differing.
Different.
In all of that, ye may be sincere and unoffending in the day of Christ.
In the day of Christ. Church, now you have the dispensation chart. Now, where you see grace, now you can write on this. I mentioned some time ago, you can laminate. If you have a copy, to laminate this. Keep this with you. But the word different should be consistent. Not should be. It is consistent with our gospel, the gospel of grace. The grace directives, the grace covenant is different, church. It's a different directive. Why is it different? Because it's information, the mystery, Ephesians 3:5. It was unheard of. It was not known in prior generations. This message is different. Now, another thing that God's people need to understand is that the messages must be divided. And if you do not divide this message, you'll be confused. In fact, there's a word that I want you to think about, and this word is discombobulated. Amen. Now, I'm going to repeat this. Somebody said, that's a long word. Wait a minute. A long word is only, it's a short word once you learn it. The word discombobulated really means a sense of being totally confused or discomfort or upset. And let's put this in a sentence here. God's, men of God's people are, it's a verb, by the way. Men of God's people are totally discombobulated by not dividing the Bible. Totally confused. You take something in the future. Oh, yeah, in the future, yes, God's covenant with Israel is that one day everyone's going to be healed. That's right. God, that's a the fulfillment that God promised Abraham. Everyone is going to be healed in the future. But now you move that to the present, and now you're going to go to the Sinai Hospital or or St. John. You're going to pray. Everybody's going to be healed. Wait a minute. Now, it may be God's purpose for some of those people to go to what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Everyone is not going to be healed today, church. And that's not negative. That's the fact. That's the directive in our gospel. And the directive in our gospel, if you have an affirmation, you pray, Lord, God's will is done. You pray by faith. But the outcome, church, is all according to God. Amen. You don't get that information in those other covenants. So we're going to move forward with some information here regarding the covenants. Refer to the document, and before we begin reading, the reason I just felt led to continue, for those that were not here, we had June the 11th, we had a dispensation seminar, and what happened toward the end of the seminar, we had everyone working into groups, and their directive was very simple. Everyone was working in groups of four. Name three questions that you have regarding the Bible. Or you can say, name three questions, just doesn't make sense. You know, we've all been there, you read something, this doesn't make sense. So what happened, a captain in the group, in each group, compiled the questions, and we gave them to my wife, Elder Karen, and Pastor was standing right here, Pastor answered the questions. Church, are you ready for this? There were 12 questions. Every question that the group had could be easily answered if they had divided the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. Amen. Every question. And the reason that they had those questions, because they did not divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. For example, one question was, should we all be baptized today? See, that could be easily answered if you divide the Bible, because in the kingdom messianic gospel, yes, the directive at that time was water baptism. And then, but the directive in grace today is we are baptized spiritually in the body of Christ. Baptism is nothing, church. It's a word that's synonymous with baptism is identification. When, in fact, if you can go to the law of the other covenants, when they had baptism in the law, what happened? They identified with the old covenant. When the day of Pentecost, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and it wasn't about white suits, white attire. Amen. It was basically the message at that time, the cogitation at that time was for Israel to turn from the law to Christ. And that's why they came from all over the lands. You know, again, the Jewish nation was spread around. And the essence of the Pentecostal message was to turn from the law to Christ. And in identification of that, they were water baptized. So the Bible is consistent. So when Jesus said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that was consistent in that covenant. Amen. Our gospel, you have more information. Our gospel, when you are baptized, were, you are because you were. But our baptism is spiritual. Amen. We were all spiritually baptized, not in time, but in eternity. And when, because God
place you in the body of Christ in eternity, your spiritual baptism, your identification is a component of eternity and not time. And church, when you have your cogitation this way, you have knowledge that passes all understanding, and you can have so much peace and security to know that what God, what is, has always been, you are saved because you were saved in eternity. And with that information, you can have the peace of God. But now, let's go through some of these covenants. And we're going to show you, you have to take the framework, go to our gospel, our covenant, to teach what's here. Because if you try to abide under innocence with the limited information, you're only going to get the information that's in those covenants. Innocence, first of all, refer to the document. Many of God's people do not know what a dispensation is. A dispensation, refer to your document, to dispense or administer an economy, administration or house rule, a particular program or set of operating instructions that God dispenses for man's obedience during a time period, church. A dispensation is not the time period. However, it covers a period of time. The issue is the policy, program, or direction instructions, not time. Remember, time is an interval of space that God sets to implement his will and purpose. So, in essence, every dispensation has certain directives. And it's not a matter of God changing his mind, because the whole idea, see, one thing we need to understand about God, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not schizophrenic. God is not, what, okay, you saved today, and then you messed up, and now you're lost. And now that's a sad way to live. Well, I messed up. Who hasn't? But the key is, our salvation is secure. And there's not a person in here, at one point in your life, you thought that maybe you weren't saved. Why? You were operating on limited knowledge. The knowledge was always what? It was always here, church, that you were saved in eternity. But unless the Holy Spirit breathes knowledge in your spirit that you have always belonged to Christ, you will never have the revelation comes from God. But somebody said, why is it one day I thought I was lost? Because the revelation, according to God, was not imparted to your heart at that time. But you could have escaped the time capsule. Someone said, suppose I died and didn't know that. Well, see, thank God salvation is not based upon what you know. Amen. But thank God while you're breathing, learn something, church. Come on, learn something. Why go through life not learn something? Amen. But if you go, amen, if a person has a mental issue or you go to a lot of people have maybe born, never, don't know what salvation is. If they were chosen before the foundation of the world, they belong to God because they have always belonged to God. Again, you get this information in our covenant. So, in essence here, you think of the fact that every administration, you have certain rules and directives. And we mentioned this, for those that were out, we mentioned, let's take this down to our government. Right now, we're in a political season. And this is a time I, Lord, be glad when it's over with, because right now, it's just a lot of God's people are just always so much turmoil. Who's going to be president, whatever. Church, relax, because whoever he or she is, it's already done. Well, somebody say, I don't know. The only reason you don't know, because your conscience has not caught and moved in that frame. But November, now I don't know what that, November, what, probably the 8th, 9th of this year, whenever they have the election, when we say, oh, he or she's president, they were already there. Whether it was Hillary or let's make America great again, whoever. Relax. Because whoever it is, that person, he or she, is controlled by God. Everything is in him. Government, husband, wife, job, everything is in God. And the fact that everything is in him, he controls governments, he controls nations, nothing moves outside of the directive of God. And if you don't understand that, you'll be all nervous. Now we are approaching our country be 240 years old tomorrow. See, people, you know what? I love science, but now for the past 20, 15 years, I've fallen in love with history. It's amazing, church. See, people don't know this. There are many times some crazy people out there, they came within one button from releasing nuclear weapons that could have destroyed this country. Men, on more than one occasion. Somebody said, why didn't it happen? Because God did not allow it. Amen. Some people woke up some mornings, this is the day the United States is going to be destroyed. What happened? Everything is according to God. They cannot release those nuclear weapons because God didn't allow that. But I'm not predicting the future, church. I'm just making a point, not being negative. I'm just making a point. According to God, you go to the, especially over there in Revelation, one day there will be nuclear weapons released in this world. Amen. And who knows, it may, some of this may occur before the rapture to some degree, but nothing is going to take place in terms of, excuse the term, all hell breaking loose until we're out of here. Because why? God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if you take this information and you move, you take the information in the tribulation period and you move that to this present evil age, you said the church is going to go through the tribulation. Like somebody said, oh, but God said in Matthew 24 that his elect, woe to those that come out of great tribulation. Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to the Commonwealth of Israel. But in fact, it was something amazing. For those that just listen with your spirit, we had in Bible class a couple of weeks ago, it was stated, if you go to Paul's epistles, the revelation, the mystery, our information, nowhere do you find Paul's giving directives to how to survive through the tribulation period. You don't find that. It's not there. So think about this, church. If the body of Christ, if we were going through the tribulation, if we had to go through the tribulation period, the mystery writers would convey information to that. Well, somebody said, well, he talks about the man of sin. Yeah, our gospel over there in Thessalonians. But understand historically what was happening then. There were some false teachers telling some of God's people that, okay, the Lord's already come. You're in trouble. It's over. So Paul was not writing, he did not write that as a directive for the future in terms of you missing the rapture. He was dealing with that false doctrine that was taking place at that time. And just apply this to today. There have been many false teachers. I remember some of those years, in 1994, the Lord's going to come, and another year was some people sold all the property. The Lord's going to come on this day. Thank God he has not revealed that. Because no one knows the day or the hour. Amen. The Lord purpose to keep that what? A secret. Amen. Why? Because God knows depravity. If the Lord had, let me tell you something. If it was written by the directive of God that Jesus is going to come November the 18th, 2016, and if that was a fact, you know, God's people start doing some crazy things. They'd be quitting the jobs. They did at that time. But thank God, be occupied until he comes. Amen. But you major in the information, church, where you major in the area of the Bible where you have more information. Let's go to the first. What about a covenant? Back to the document. A covenant. A pledge, alliance, contract, or agreement between two or more parties. There are two types of covenants between God and man. A unilateral or unconditional, meaning all obligations are the responsibility of God. No responsibility placed upon mankind to effectuate the covenant. You have bilateral or conditional, meaning mankind is required to do certain things in order to effectuate the covenant. Now, as we go through these covenants, church, and I'm not going to get through all these, but I'm going to do a review today. We're going to see what can happen when you take a covenant where you have limited information and the danger of taking that and running with it for doctrine. Amen. First covenant, innocence. And we have the scriptures here. It's an Edenic covenant. We have the, it's a covenant, it's a bilateral. In other words, you do this, God, man is required to do certain things. You do this, God do that. That's a bilateral arrangement. And Adam and Eve is the federal head. Next covenant, dispensation, conscience. Again, the Adamic covenant, bilateral, Adam and Eve. I'm stop here. Let me share one thing about Adam, which again, If you just operate in the directive of that covenant, you won't have that much information. Many of God's people take this, let's say Adam. I've heard him say for a plethora of years in the past, oh, you know, Adam, God created Adam, and Adam and Eve, they're placed in the garden, they were naked. Adam was perfect. You heard that. Adam was what? You heard people? And some of you may be thinking Adam was perfect. Adam was not perfect. Adam was innocent, but he was not perfect. But somebody said, wait a minute, he was born without sin. Are you kidding? Well, let's see. Let's take our gospel and refer this to Adam. Now, let's move from a part of the Bible where you have more information. Let's take the information that we have in our gospel and move that to innocence at that time. And then you have more information. So we're going to go here to teach, church, not to take something from innocence and make a doctrine. And some of God's people say, oh, Adam was perfect. Was he? Elder Karen, let's go to, I'm sorry, Pastor, yeah. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. I tell you, Pastor, you can go and read this in the King James 14. So it's a little reading, church, but it's a little reading here, but it's very important, because we're going to take some information here and move this in prior dispensations where you have limited information. Our gospel, you have unlimited information, the grace covenant. Those other covenants, you have limited information. Pastor, you can go ahead and read 7 through 14, Romans.
From the King James.
Yes.
Romans chapter 7, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Mm-hmm.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, it is no more that is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Mm-hmm.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Mm-hmm.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Mm-hmm.
For the good that I would do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Mm-hmm.
I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Mm-hmm.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Mm-hmm.
O wretched man that I am.
O wretched.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin.
The flesh. Now, what Pastor just read, church, let's transpose that information to Adam's situation. Now, Adam, a lot of God's people think that Adam was perfect. Now, the next question is this. Did Adam sin? Well, somebody said, yeah, what did he do? Well, you know, the forbidden fruit and all of that. Well, how can a perfect person sin? There's only one perfect one, church. That's Christ. Adam was innocent, but he was not perfect. And the reason that he sinned, because he was depraved. But you're not going to get that information in those other covenants. See, you read over there, you know, oh, look at David. He did all these wonderful things, and Isaiah, and all these, we call them the heroes of faith. By the way, that's a man-made term. You go there in Hebrews, the heroes of faith. There's no really hero. There's only one hero. That's Christ. Come on, church. There's only one true hero. But somebody said they did great things. every great thing that they did, they were called to do that according to God's will, plan, and purpose. And they couldn't take any credit. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. We can't take. Every good thing that God causes you to do, he deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. All God did was blew on you. Over there, Paul references this in Ephesians. Every what? Length, breadth, and height is the breath of God. That's synonymous with the purpose of God. God blew on you to fulfill his will at that time. And you could make the same situation 10 years later, the same circumstances, you fall flat on your face. And I say, well, what happened? Well, according to God's purpose, God blew on you for you to fall flat on your face many times for us to understand that we're all but weak. It's everything is according to God. So the mistakes that you make in your life, don't beat yourself up. Oh, thank God. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, period. If you mess up, move on, Lord, process-wise, forgive me, Lord, and move on, church. Amen. In life, you always have to move forward. Don't beat yourself up. Let somebody say, I made a mistake. Can you correct what you made? I believe you can learn something from mistakes and move on. But many of God's people think that God's mad with them. There's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And don't take that the other way also, because the flesh is depraved. Oh, wretched man that I am. By the way, if you look at that in the Greek, that's a present indicative. Paul, again, people try to say, well, Paul was, he was referencing this before he had this Damascus Road experience. You know, he was persecuting the Christians. He was doing all these crazy things. Yes, that's okay for Paul. Oh, wretched man. He was making this fact right now when he was in the ministry, when he was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Because we all have flaws, church. And everyone has flaws. But we don't magnify the flaws, we magnify Christ. Christ is the one that's magnified. So either way, Adam sinned, because first of all, one thing regarding sin is the time. As long as we're in the time capsule, there is sin. And that's why, let's look at this on the other side. We're talking about the future age. Some people think during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, some people say, oh, that's a perfect age. No, it's not. It's a time, 1,000 years. There'd be some crazy things going on at that time. But the big difference is that Jesus Christ will rule this world with a rod of iron. Now, think about this, church. Why would Jesus have to rule with a rod of iron? Well, the reason there's a rule, there's going to be opposition. There are going to be some people. Now, again, Satan's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. So that hindrance to depravity, God is going to be hindered because Satan will be locked up. But because of a depraved nature, there will still be some things going on at that time that the Lord is going to rule from Jerusalem. But see, at that time, people do some crazy things. You're not going to have to, you're not going to get the most expensive lawyer in town to try to get off. No, he's going to rule with righteousness for 1,000 years. So the earth will be at peace because the Prince of Peace will be here. Amen. But again, that's our future. When you're dealing with the tribulation period, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that is a future time, not now. And again, another example, you move that information to this present evil age. Well, Jesus said over there in Matthew 5, if a person smite you, turn the other cheek. Oh, really? Fundamentally, you want to walk in peace, church. But Jesus did not say, if somebody come into your house and on drugs, and they're going to take over your property, and you just turn the other cheek. In fact, there was a friend of ours, he went on to be the Lord. I mentioned this maybe a few years ago. And again, this preacher had a gun. Come on, I'm just making a point. I'm not beating him up. I'm just making a point. Everybody in the church knew he had a gun. So somebody read Matthew 5, where Jesus said, if you turn the other cheek, if they smite you, turn the other cheek. And they said, Bishop, if someone come in your house and they're going to threaten your house and your family, and I'm going to put this scripture in front of your face, Bishop. If a man smite you, turn the other cheek. He said, listen, there are two things that are going to go. At that time, the scriptures, you take, move that scripture aside. I have to take him out if I have to. But see, the whole point is this. If you divide the Bible according to dispensation and covenants, turning the other cheek is a future principle. Not in this present evil age. Come on, church. It's a future. But see, again, in the future, somebody want to take advantage of you in that future time, there would be instant retribution. The Lord would take care of them instantly. Instantly. You cannot give away everything in this present evil age. Give away. The Bible says, if they want you, give them your coat, your cloak, give them everything. Oh, really? At that time, in this present evil age, there is a principle of giving. There is a principle of giving, church. We should give. But if somebody say, give me your car, and there are people, the other day I read a person that belonged to this church, said, whatever they ask you to do, do it. So they were thumbing the ride in New York, and some two murderers just escaped prison. They gave them, they said, but the Bible says, they whatever ask, give it to them. And so they gave a ride to the two men. And make a long story short, they took her, they had a gun, killed her. And somebody said, "What? Why did God allow that? Everything was according to God, church." But in this present evil age, you need to protect yourself. In terms of the principles of peace. Let peace rule, church. Amen? Human government. You see that? Human government? Genesis 9:5. It's a unilateral covenant, human government, Noah and his families. All right? So, what about this dispensation? Somebody said, whatever the Bible say, I want to do it. Well, let's follow those directives. God told Noah to build an ark for his purpose. The whole earth was wicked. You know, you read this in Sunday school. Noah built an ark. Now, somebody said, Noah, whatever the Bible say, I want to do it. Well, God told Noah to build an ark. He did not tell you. Those were the directions that God had for Noah. Amen. At that time. Amen. And we mentioned earlier that God uses man in spite of man's weaknesses. Because God using a person has nothing to do with how well qualified you are. It's okay to have a resume if you are applying for a job. But there's no such thing as a spiritual resume to be used by God, because if you will have a spiritual resume, all of our accomplishments is zero. It's all Christ, not us. So in terms of a resume, a spiritual resume, in terms of what you've done, we will always fall short. It's all about God and what he did and what his purpose is for us. Promise, next dispensation. And here's another one God's people confuse. Abrahamic covenant. These are God's directives to Abraham. You remember? You get into trouble, church, when you miss these covenants. Pastor Reed, let's go to Genesis 12:1-3. Since we're in this the Abrahamic covenant, which is the dispensation, the Abrahamic dispensation. Here's another example of mixing these covenants.
Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kingdom, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make my name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
All the families of the earth be blessed, church. Understand, men of God's people put the church here, the body of Christ. God said, told Abraham, all the families of the earth. What families are God talking to? there are families, the Commonwealth of Israel, the body of Christ. And we know from this directive, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. Out of Genesis 12:1, Israel became a nation. And God said that they would be blessed among all nations. But we need to understand, there's a song I heard the other day, Abraham's blessings are mine. You all have heard that. Church, Abraham's blessings were physical. I'm going to repeat again. Abraham's blessings were physical. Our blessings are spiritual. That's the big difference. Everything that deals with Abraham's blessings, it relates to a physical characteristic. Abraham's blessings are seen. Our blessings, who we are in Christ, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. We've been blessed with justification, adoption, reconciliation, propitiation, sonship, agape, the love of God. All of these blessings are unseen. All the physical blessings that Abraham, and by the way, we're not minimizing the wonderful blessings that God has for Abraham and his descendants. But everything that you see in the New Covenant, church, you read over there in Matthew, in the Revelation, and when we are raptured from the earth, that those things that's going to transpire in the future, that is the promise that God made to Abraham. So Abraham's blessings are physical. Our blessings are spiritual. So what God has for you as a member in the body of Christ is more than what he promised Abraham. Amen. More than what he promised Abraham. Let's move to the law. And here's one that's really old. You move to the law. There are directives in the law, the Mosaic covenant. And there are men of God's, it's a bilateral covenant. Men of God's people are trying to keep the law. They want to abide under the law. Let's go to, there's a scripture here, church. Romans 6:14, Pastor. You can read that in the King, in the Greek, in the King James first, and read that in the Greek, please.
Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
You're not under the law, but under grace. Church, we're not under the directives of the law. Certain fools. Oh, speaking of certain fools. See, some of you know where I'm going. Tomorrow is July the 4th. I think the weather's going to be kind of nice tomorrow. Some of you may start today. Somebody said, you're not under the law, but under grace. Somebody said, I want to obey the whole Bible. Well, some of you may barbecue tomorrow. When you take that rib, and some of you that rib, the pork sausage, and it's on your grill, well, and you're going to have a good time. See, at that time, there were dietary restrictions. But now, there are no dietary restrictions. Amen. See, you said, no, whatever the Bible said, and I was caught there 20 years ago. I mean, I said, wait a minute, I'm going to obey the Bible. Amen. My wife, $150 for the food, church, 25 years ago. That's a lot of money. But I was on that tangent where whatever the Bible said. So I said, well, she went to, at that time, they had Farmer Jack. Anyway. Every time I saw P-O-R-K, trash can, everything that wasn't like what the Bible said. So Karen, I came home. She said, where's the food? I said, oh, Lord. You thank God for a gracious wife. Because if she was vindictive, amen. Thank God I still stay home that night. But the point is that those were the directions for the Jews, for Israel. It was not. See, I tried to follow these dietary restrictions. Won't work. And see, our Lord, has a way of helping letting kids teach you. Because one thing, my kids, Erica, Pam, they were real small then. And I was a staunch law keeper, Pastor. Why in the world, oh Lord, hey, Marvin, you remember? My good Lord cooked these ribs. Oh, and you know my daughter, Erica, Lord, she was there. I was sitting down being my little religious self. I hear my little string beans, you know, trying to be religious. And Lord, Erica looked at me laughing, and she was saying, somehow when she took a bite of that rib, the meat just fell off the bones, and I said, oh, Lord, listen, you know what? After a short time, I said, this is not working. Trying to follow the law, church. It doesn't work. I mean, and she, you know, she rubbed it in. Daddy, it was so good. You want a piece? God damn it. I said, Lord, because they knew I was on there. I think I rode that train for a couple months. But after that, it's not working. We are not under the directives of the law, but we're under the directives of grace. Amen. Going to church on Saturday. Amen. By the way, God has a course for every life. That's one thing about grace. You're not going to beat people over the head. Because grace always is our directive, is grace. Now, I'm going to close on a few things, and then we'll be out. Grace. The directives of grace is everything is already done. The directives of grace that you were saved before the foundation of the world. If you do not put salvation and if you keep salvation time, church, you would be nervous. You would be there would be a lot of uncertainty. And some people say, what difference does it make? I mean, I'm going to save. I'm on my way to heaven. If I get baptized or if I just please God, then God will save me. If you have that cogitation, church, then you put salvation in eternity. It gives you peace, knowledge. It gives you understanding because you have it where it should be, the fact that God already has done it. Amen. And the medium of that is what? Knowledge. Let me give you an example of the importance of putting things in the eternal realm. Mm-hmm. Let me give you something we can relate to. Because a lot of us, many of God's people walk by sight. So we can relate to this. A couple of weeks ago, for those of you that's in the, we have to understand this message, this church, this ministry goes worldwide. So when we make certain statements, it's not just in the United States. It's worldwide. Amen. This ministry. Amen. This is a mega ministry as far as this medium of the website that God's blessed Deacon Victor and Deacon Mitchell with. Amen. But let me say this because somebody said it doesn't make any difference. I'm saved. But if I get my tongues, if I get water baptized, then God saved me because I did this. Church, if you do not have the knowledge that God's already done it, it's no way you can have the peace and security that pass all understanding. 2 weeks ago, I watched a basketball game, the last game between the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State. LeBron versus Steph Curry. Now, understand now. Cleveland was behind 3-1. They came back. The seventh game is a close game. Every time, I was looking at the game from the framework of time. Uh-huh. Every time that Steph Curry hit that three, my blood pressure moving up. Every time, and Jermaine Green, he been crazy, hitting those points. I said, oh, Lord, I was rooting for Cleveland. Obviously, they never won nothing 56-4 since. So come on. But I was a nervous wreck. During that time. And then one time, Golden State had an 8-point lead, about 3 minutes left. I said, oh, Lord, they're going to lose. I was a nervous wreck because I had everything. I did not have any information based upon who was going to win. I was basing everything on everything that was moving through those frames. And thank God, Cleveland won. But it's interesting. I was somewhere. Friend of mine was watching the game, 2 days later. The same game. Every time Curry hit a three, I said, there ain't nothing. I was totally opposite. Would someone please tell me what difference, what transpired the same game, church? One situation, I had limited information. The other, I knew who's going to win because I had information from eternity. Now, when I say eternity, I'm just only using a term based upon a game. But why is it that same game, I was so calm, so nervous, 2 days later, so calm? Because I knew the expected outcome. Church, when you know the expected outcome, you can have peace that passeth all understanding. What is our expected outcome? The expected outcome is that you are saved before the foundation of the world. The expected outcome is that, yes, one day you were dead in your trespass and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, will he love you. The expected outcome, yes, I make mistakes, but God loved me in eternity. The expected outcome is that one day, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. The expected outcome is that in spite of my problems, I am secure, I am saved, I am set free because God loves me. Amen. You are operating now from our gospel, from an arena where you have information, the fact that you are saved because you were always saved. Amen. But if you put salvation in time, you will be nervous in time. I'm going to repeat that. If you put salvation in time, you will be nervous in time. If you put salvation in eternity, you will have the peace of God that passeth all understanding that shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And the expected outcome with this information, the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.